Gratitude is the key to a joyful life.
How do we make gratitude a habit?
Today's topic on the Pinecone Podcast, gratitude. You just heard a couple of comments from Wes and Lacey. Wes is with us every week, and Lacey's our special guest who's with us every week. How you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
Listen, if you're here, how many times do you have to come to not be special?
I'm always going to be special.
Okay.
But you all heard them talking about gratitude and what gratitude meant to life or question how to make it a habit. And that was kind of a little pre-podcast meeting that we were having. And I can't remember, Wes, can you help me? What were we talking about right before that?
Disney Plus.
Disney Plus, yes. And how to be content with everything, right? Weren't we?
Yeah, by looking at Amazon.
Yeah, and wondering how much it would cost to get that and how much Alexa.
I'm grateful I got the new Fire Stick for $19.99. And you too can get it right now.
It's a lightning deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and for another $12.99, you get Netflix.
That's not really a deal.
Nope.
I didn't know that.
However, if you are a subscriber to Verizon, I mean, if you have Verizon phone, you can get Disney Plus free for a year, $6.99 thereafter.
And you need it.
You need it.
Your kids need it.
That's right.
What
Your
about?
Life is not complete.
Nope, without it.
Yeah. How can you be joyful if you can't have Baby Yoda?
Oh, Baby Yoda is so cute.
But you don't get Mandalorian with that.
Yeah, you do.
Disney
you
Plus. Do?
Baby Yoda is on The Mandalorian.
Wow. Really?
You did not know that?
I didn't know
okay.
I didn't know you got it with that deal.
Yeah, you get The Mandalorian plus Baby Yoda.
Will that make
on
me happy?
The Mandalorian.
Yes.
Will that make me happy?
I think so. I think so. Baby Yoda is just like he's like the hit of the year.
He makes he makes you happy when you see him. He's pretty cute.
So Lacey, how do we make it a habit for gratitude? You asked the question, do you know the answer?
I asked the question because I would love to talk about the answer.
What's the last part of gratitude? What word can you not say gratitude without?
Tude?
Attitude.
Oh, attitude.
How about that?
It's all about your attitude.
I'm too reductionistic.
Would it be a grateful attitude?
You could actually expand it.
It's true.
Could you say humbly grateful?
Or gratefully humble?
No, grumbly hateful.
Grumbly
hateful.
Grumbly, where's Cliff Moore when you need him? Where's Cliff Moore when you need him?
Or humbly grateful?
Okay, we are going.
I've worked all month to get that down.
We are going nowhere with this conversation.
That is somewhere.
Okay, let's go try to focus ourselves. We're going to focus ourselves on.
The attitude.
Getting anxiety.
I'm
the
not
attitude
getting anxiety.
Of gratitude.
You guys are making me a little anxious. Anyway.
When Paul said that he had learned to be content with everything, why didn't he just say that he is content in all things?
I think because he learned it.
What does learning entail?
Is that maybe how, like, developing a habit?
I think so.
That's a good question. So, how do you develop any habit?
Repetition.
Intentional practice of it. First, I think you need to recognize the need for it in your life. Why do we need gratitude?
Sure. And I think also it's a change of mindset. So, because if you do something over and over again, but without changing your mindset, it doesn't really become part of you in the same way. And if circumstances change, then you can quickly stop doing it. So that's the key is to begin to think of it differently.
Which is what Paul needed to do.
I mean, if you hate weightlifting, you know, and you just, you can never see it, and you don't think it gives you any benefit. It'll be very difficult to maintain that practice and repetition. However, if you can begin to see that this will make a difference, that it's good for your long-term health and strength, prevent injury, then even when it's hard, that kind of carries you through. Then you take that mindset and repeat it over and over again. Then you get into a habit of weightlifting, and that's So I think.
But don't you have to get into the habit before you're going to see the results?
No, because you can see them in your mind. You can see what's going to happen as a result of what you're doing. So, no, you don't have to necessarily see the results before you can have, what did you say, hope or?
Well, no, you have to have the habit of doing it before you can see the results.
Yeah, except that we can, in our minds, see that certain causes will have certain effects. And so,
but you still have to be determined to stick with it.
Sure, but what I'm saying is that it's not, determination is not just willpower. It's a change of the way you think about it. And so that's the beginning of a formation of a new habit. But then it's not enough just to think about it. You actually have to implement it and get that worked into your body and to your way of doing things.
Right. But in order to see the real life result, it is something you have to put into practice. So you can change your mindset about it by anticipating all of the good things that it's going to bring into your life, and then actually putting it into practice will then allow you to see those results come to fruition. And then that's going to hopefully perpetuate the desire to continue that habit.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are the good results of gratitude that would make us want to change our mindset?
Well, one thing I would add about the habit, though, in terms of moral virtue, is that it's not just, I mean, not to say we don't have God's aid in helping us exercise, which I do think he's the source. He holds our breath in his hand, as Daniel put it. But I think that also we recognize that it's a gift of God's grace. Enabling us to live as we're supposed to live is God's grace, and we're not just thrown on our own resources, that it is God's continually working first and foremost, and we join him in what he's already doing in our lives. So God is changing people who are believers into the likeness of Jesus, and part of that is learning to be a grateful person. So it's not like we just have to conjure this up on our own.
Right.
It's God is already at work making us this way. And our work is just really leaning into what he's already doing, working with him, under him, in his power, in his strength. And so I think anytime we talk about habit formation, that we always have to see the primacy of grace. Now, some people, I think, make a mistake and they think that habits are formed monergistically, meaning it's just God does it solely and completely without our effort involved. And I don't think that that's what the Bible teaches. I think that in terms of beginning faith and beginning love and beginning hope, putting that initial regeneration, that is a monergistic work. But when in terms of how we grow in those virtues or habits, it is synergistic. It is we work together or we work with him. Though it's not like it's an equal partnership.
Right.
Here, it's we're leaning into this great work.
The power.
That
his power.
He's doing. So I think we should also add that part of that is learning to leaning into his grace is not just about working harder. It's also going to those places where he tends to work his grace or give his gifts, like the word of God, sacraments, prayer, with fellowship with believers, and so on. All those things are things that God uses. And those are, as it were, our first work in habit formation is the means of grace.
Do you think that kind of lends itself to our conversation about justification by faith alone and how works kind of comes alongside that? Like, out of our faith, we can grow gratitude.
Sure. So I would distinguish between justification and sanctification. And justification is a status that we receive as passively as a gift.
Right.
Sanctification is something in which we're active, even though there's an aspect of receiving it as a gift as well. That's not all there is to it.
Right.
So we do receive that grace from the Lord, but we're also active in moving forward with it. Whereas justification, just in the nature of the case, as a new status, is not something we're active in. It's just a gift that received by faith.
Right. And out of that can come gratitude to God for all that he's done.
And
it's a part of working alongside of him and what he's doing in our lives already.
Mm-hmm. So, but what about on the practical side? When things are going bad, I mean, Paul said that he learned to be content, and he certainly didn't have good circumstances a lot of the time. So what about on the practical side of that? It's easy to say we're going to be thankful when everything's going good.
Mm-hmm.
What about when it's not? Can you still be thankful? Can you still have gratitude? How do you? Isn't it like by choice? You just have to decide, I'm going to be... I was just thinking, we were talking like the other night, or I guess it was last night at church, when you asked people to say what they were thankful for. Almost without exception, and maybe entirely without exception, everybody started with something, in a sense, something bad happened, or something a trial came in, and they were thankful for what came out of that. You know, I had a rough year, but I'm thankful because my spouse supported me. I had, you know, sickness, but I'm thankful because the church family supported me. So you're looking for something to be thankful for.
So what conclusion do you draw from that?
I think that's the conclusion I draw. It goes back to the attitude. You decide what your attitude's going to be. You decide you're going to be thankful and look for the positive. Look for what you can be thankful for in your circumstance.
So they've learned to be positive. Or they've learned to see the good even in the tough things.
Yeah.
And some case, though some of it was, we're delivered out of it. And that's the good thing.
Right, but it started with a trial.
Yeah. But I think that's the whole idea of learning to be content in any trial. Learning involves some sort of work toward that. And it also means there was a point where he wasn't content in all circumstances, and then he went through a transformation of this learning process, and then he can be content. And I think that he put into practice gratitude, taking the time to stop in whatever circumstance he was in and look at what God was doing. Because no matter what circumstance we're in, we can always go back to, I have hope in Christ that this world will pass away, and that my tears will be dried, and that I will be in heaven one day with God. So we can always go back to that basis as far as being thankful in any circumstance, but also looking around him and seeing the other things that he could be thankful for were what helped him to be content. Right?
Yeah. I might be overly playing on the words. I think the way he worded it was intentional. He didn't say, I am content. Certainly, I've learned to be content. He chose to be content because of what you're saying, because he knew maybe what the future held, or he knew that God was with him, whatever. I don't think Paul is sitting in prison or being beaten or stoned and thinking, well, I'm so content with this. But he learned to be content in spite of the circumstance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm just not sure. So he says he learned it, so there was a process, but
right.
Now he knows how to be content. But if you look at the context, I mean, it is like, I am content, well fed or hungry, you know, not in spite of it. He's saying even in it.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, so it doesn't have to have a circumstance.
Yeah, because he found a source of happiness and contentment that was independent of his circumstances.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the heart of it. But I think even beyond that, so gratitude doesn't ignore the bad. Like, you don't have to, it's not a necessity for being grateful to ignore the bad or not see the bad. It's just seeing the good. And that's the thing that we really have a hard time doing. We, you know, I was, and kind of just what I've been thinking about the past couple days, I had a little setback in just some of the work I was doing that was very frustrating for me. And I just realized, like, why is this taking hold of my heart so much? You know, it's because I have an expectation that's kind of way out there, not in terms of, like, crazy, but in the sense that, like, it's not something I really have a lot of control over. Like, it's going to take time either way to get this thing done. But I just said, what can I be grateful for today? You know, what can I see? Where should I find my basic joy? And it's like, I think it's in the fundamental things that we experience in our lives, that just the fact that that are kind of not totally independent from circumstance, but kind of really readily at hand in our circumstances. So by that I mean this, that, for example, first and foremost, that we can know God. We can actually experience Him and commune with Him. That we are able to know other people. And that, you know, there's rarely a day, I can't think of really any day, that I have no interaction with people whatsoever. And to see that as in and of itself a blessing, and just, I mean, if we could say, I'm hugely grateful for just being able to interact with people, especially when they can tell me how to get Disney Plus for free. And then there's pleasures that we can enjoy all around us. I mean, just, you know, the meals that we enjoy, even our relatively simple meals. I mean, I had 2 mozzarella cheese sticks, an apple, and a chocolate-covered granola bar for lunch. And it was like, you know, that's a really simple meal as far as American meals go. But I just really enjoyed it, you know. And it was like, we can take in these simple pleasures that we're able to enjoy, that we're able to do things that actually make a difference, like doing a podcast or writing a sermon or teaching your kids or stocking shelves, you know. I mean, all those things were part of something big there that's significant, that it's being able to take in just these basic pleasures of life that are present with us every day, and letting go or making our joy less dependent on kind of like getting that trip, that vacation that I want, or being able to spend time with the exact right person that day, or being able to get that house, or being able to have that job or that church, you know, and just saying, like, today I have this person and I have this thing, and I see the magnolia tree that I walked by that's filled with beautiful green leaves. It's, if we could actually see those good things each day for what they are, I think that we'd have a very joyful life. And I think that's something what the Apostle Paul says, especially in terms of his relationship with Christ. Though he does also say there, he learned the power, going back to the grace point, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. That's where he says it, in learning to be content. And he also says, if I want to become an NFL football player, I want to become a defensive lineman, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength.
Wait, you mean that verse doesn't mean that?
Oh, shoot.
You just ruined my life.
Because I knew you wanted to be a defensive lineman.
It's true. I've been working towards
Pittsburgh
that.
Pittsburgh Steelers, probably.
Go Steelers. I do think you hit on something really interesting when you were talking
Wes
about the
hit
meal.
On something? Well. Interesting? Oh, no.
Wow.
write it down.
Notice these good things.
Yes. I think a huge reason that we as a society struggle with gratefulness is because of how quickly we're moving. When you were talking about having your simple meal, I was thinking about how often I am hurriedly eating and not even tasting my food because I'm trying to get to the next thing. But if you slow down and just savor a meal, there's so many blessings that come out of that. One, you feel full faster. You're not like trying to, you know, you don't overeat, I guess is what I'm trying to say, because you've actually tasted the meal. You've given your body the time to process it. And the blessings that come just from sitting around the table with someone and slowly taking in a meal or a conversation or things like that. I think hurriedness is a huge obstacle to gratefulness.
We should just, every year, set aside one day where we just are thankful.
That's not going to help us build a habit.
I know, but let's start with that.
Can we do that, or should we get the government to do it?
We should get our government to do
that. Our government could set that aside.
We could actually say, and then they could encourage us to be thankful. It'd be really awesome.
So how can we build a habit of gratefulness?
Not with the government's help. You know, something else you hit on. Wes hit on two things today.
Whoa!
So, and you were using yourself as an example and Paul, but looking for the positive. And I think maybe that's one thing that's wrong in our society or with us, is we try to get happiness or contentment or thanksgiving or joy or whatever by eliminating the bad. But what you're saying, I think what Paul was saying, the bad is still there. Acknowledge it. It still is. But look for the good. You know, because a lot of people are like, well, I would be happy if I didn't have the job I hate. Mm-hmm. Instead of, I get to interact with people, like what you're saying, or I get my paycheck or whatever. I mean, whatever can be positive that comes out of that.
Which is interesting because in your sermon yesterday, well, after your sermon, you were talking about the Eucharist. And that is Eucharisto, is that how you say it? Means
to give thanks.
To give thanks, which is what Jesus did the night before he was betrayed and then
hung
on a cross.
I should have talked to you before I said it. That's a great insight.
Oh, thanks. So. but going along with
Seriously.
What you were saying,
it is.
Eucharisto, giving thanks. Jesus gave thanks for a meal that he knew was going to symbolize the pain he was about to go through. And so that's kind of been just kind of twirling around in my mind. And I am not a Greek scholar, but charis is what I was reading today, is the
grace,
the base word for Eucharist, grace. And so he was giving thanks for grace, for the grace to do what he was about to do. I don't know, for just
I'm not sure we can
that grace is a gift.
Yeah. Well, Thanksgiving, and it's a response to grace, so I guess maybe you're right.
Sure. So it's just interesting to me to think that in a circumstance that was even far worse than what Paul was dealing with, that Jesus's response was gratitude. And that was the example he set for us the night before he died. So I thought that would, contribute something to this conversation on gratitude.
That's good. Wes, you want to follow that up?
Well, I want to go back to talking about time. So because I do think like almost anything good in many ways comes down to time. Like we have a limited amount of time. Where are we going to put it? So we have such a limited amount of time, we got to use our time well. And it's easy just to let time fly away and not use it for good. So the question is it, when you're thinking about it strategically in terms of time, is gratitude a good use of your time? And on the surface of it, it may appear not, because I have to take in good that's already there rather than seeking to produce future good. But the trouble is, you'll always be producing future good and you'd never actually be enjoying the harvest,
right?
Which is kind of how people live, right? So the other option is just to see that you've already got tons of stuff that's already good, and then you can be more joyful. And then in the long run, I do think it actually even makes you more productive. Not that all life is about productivity. I would certainly not agree with that. But, you know, what we're talking about is stability and strength that enables us to serve God and others well. And that's rooted in taking the time to get that stability that flows from seeing that which is good. So if we don't think that anything good happens in our lives, if we think kind of like, I can never do anything, then we're not going to be real motivated to do things. But when we start taking in, like, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, which is true. You know, we actually are made to be able to work and accomplish things. if we're able to do that, then we begin to see, well, I can engage in this because God has made me to do significant things. So that it fuels significant accomplishment. If you don't think people like you, you know, for example, then it's, you're going to kind of hold people at a distance. But if you think, well, I had a great interaction here and here and here and here and here, which we do, then you start to think, oh, you know, I can engage with people and actually have good conversations and connect.
And I think we've all kind of heard these statistics before, but I thought it was worth pointing out that people who practice gratitude have a relative absence of stress and depression, make more progress towards important personal goals, which is kind of what you were talking about, creating future good, report higher levels of determination and energy, feel closer in their relationships and desire to build stronger relationships, and increase their happiness by about 25%. And who doesn't want to be 25% more happy?
Yeah. Well, but there's all sorts of things that we know are good that we don't spend time doing.
Right.
Like no one would say, like if you ask, you know, people, you say, do you think like exercising regularly would actually be helpful to you? Yeah. Do you do that? No.
But so. At the beginning of the podcast, we talked about changing our mindset. And so having those things in mind, you can start to develop your change of mindset or your desire to change, saying, here's the future good that's going to come out of my practice of this habit. And then maybe start to make a small goal of like, in the morning, I'm going to write down 3 things that I'm grateful for. Or in the evening, I'm going to write down 3 things that happened today that I'm grateful for. And just see how that list builds and keep adding to that list. Don't just make a new page every night. Just keep adding to that list so that, I guess what I'm trying to do is give us a practical way to start to develop the habit of
gratefulness. I like the list, but I would take it one step further. Tell someone, because I think there's power in sharing that.
Hmm.
Tell someone.
Yeah.
The 3 things you're grateful for.
Yeah.
That you're grateful for them, even.
Yeah. And even having, if you are a parent, saying it at the table every night, what are 3 things that you are so thankful happened today? Not only is that going to help your children learn how to build a habit of gratitude, but it's also going to give you insight into what they love or who they are as a person, which is an added benefit of that. But don't just allow one day of the year to be your, it's a good reminder about gratitude, but, or even some people I know may take the month of November and say one thing. Yes.
Yes.
You're taking that a little far, Wes.
Oh, really?
But take one day of November and, you know, one thing a day that they're grateful for, which is great. Mm-hmm. But why not keep going? That is going to help you to actually build a habit of gratitude.
So there's all sorts of things that you could say. These would be good things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like that's one reason I say, like, my response to that about the exercise. Like, there's all kinds of good things. So, but still, like, we don't end up doing them, you know?
So what advice would you give to someone to try to motivate them?
I think some of it's a matter of still seeing, like, why should I devote that much time to gratitude? Like, I still think, like, that's a case that has to be made. That's, you know, this is a beginning of that. But it's not like we don't have a lot of voices for gratitude. You know, you kind of hear. I mean, everybody can see it on Facebook and you share that. And it's like, why don't we be grateful? But like, it's so deeply, this is something deeply ingrained in our nature, is to focus on the negative.
Oh, yeah.
And there's something actually, there's something sensible in it, too. So, I mean, if I've walked outside 1,000 times and seen nothing, and the next time I see a bear, you know, then that is coming after me, then I'm going to tend to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not say, man, I had 1,000 times where
no
I
bear.
Didn't see any bear. It's
no
going to
bear.
Be the bear. That's what I'm going to remember.
Yeah.
So that's the, you know, it's helpful that we remember those negative possibilities. I mean, it's got to function in terms of how God made us. But So I just think, like, I'm just saying, like, I think that's a big hurdle to move from a negative focus to a positive focus. And I'm just saying, I'm saying, those are good things to do.
Sure.
You know, and all that. But what I would want to say is, like, this is a big jump. Like, everything within us is kind of moving us towards the negativity and the lack of things and so on. To move to gratitude is like a big jump.
Well, it's countercultural. I mean, I feel like Facebook...
It's not just countercultural.
Facebook definitely...
is created to make us not grateful.
I think it's not countercultural. It's our nature. Like, that's...
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just kind of how we are as humans. You know, we're focused on threats.
Well, look at the news. You turn on the news and you hear who got murdered and what, who's like on drugs and all that stuff. Never this fireman, great this great thankful family.
The fireman, the Mandalorian saved Baby Yoda. You know, that's
we're not real sure what he's going to do with them yet. So,
oh, okay.
But the reason that stuff is on the news is because that's what we want to hear. We want to see when we turn the news on, because good things happen more often to people than bad.
Oh,
news.
Yeah.
But when you turn on the news, you would think it's all bad. And because that's what we want to hear.
That's what's portrayed, right. Yeah.
We cannot say that that's the news or Facebook. Facebook is marketing to what works.
It's a reflection of our...
It's what we think about.
Sinful nature.
I mean, all it would take is for everybody to just start clicking on positive things.
Kick you off Facebook and then you would never...
If we start clicking on positive things, Facebook would not be like, we have this agenda to focus on negative things, and we're going to keep doing it even though people want positive.
I'm not even saying that is the issue as far as Facebook trying to put negative things in our face. I would say it's more, why do we scroll? We scroll and then we see things other people are doing in their rare moments of being able to take a vacation or buy something they've saved for or whatever, and then we are instantly jealous instead of stopping. Okay,
experience.
I'm not talking
but
to you.
Had
you're
had
the weird.
But
you were the weird guy.
You have made the point that show the positive side of their life on Facebook.
Now that's an interesting paradox, isn't it? Because like our tendency is to focus on negative things. That's what we think about. But then when it comes to Facebook, when in terms of what we present the positive. So, I mean,
gets a negative reaction from our friends on Facebook, mostly because we're not taking the time. Well, yeah, they like or love your thing because they're super happy for you, but then it kind of plants this negative seed, I think, for, I don't know, maybe I'm just talking from a woman's perspective. That it's just really easy to slip into this, I wish I had that, instead of stopping and going, look at all these things I do have, you know? And that's really where gratitude needs to come in.
But along with that, with the attitude too, someone put something positive, like here's a picture of my new house that I worked all my life to get.
Yeah.
And they posted on Facebook. And then later that evening, you're like, only 10 people liked that. Wow. You know, I have a horrible life because nobody likes me.
Right.
You know? And Wes, he got a new pair of shoes, and 600 people liked his comments.
Right.
We have a tendency to turn to look for the negative.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So it's about looking for the positive.
So what you're trying to say, Wes, is that we need to develop a motivation to overcome our barrier of not wanting to be grateful, because it is so counter to our nature.
Yeah.
And once we've done that, then we can implement things to try to make it a habit.
Sure. I think, and all I'm saying is, like, that's the sort of habit that's hard to make.
Oh, yeah.
So very
Aren't
hard.
All habits hard?
Mm, no.
To, maybe not
I
for
think
you.
Some are easier than others. So
don't you have to do something like for 60 days for it to become a habit?
30, I think.
I don't know. I mean, it depends.
I read that on
maybe
Facebook.
That's to
I
break.
Read that on Facebook.
Maybe it's to break a habit.
As Abraham Lincoln said, you can't believe everything you see on Facebook.
The internet, Facebook. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a good place to end?
No.
No.
So,
but we are coming to a wrap-up point for our podcast.
I thought I summarized it pretty well.
Thursday is Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you didn't hear me summarize.
Say it again. Let's underline that.
Our producer's back there going, re-summarize.
Hey. Yes, okay. So what I was saying is that you think that we need to spend some time figuring out what should motivate us to be grateful, and that will help us to overcome our obstacles to actually practice gratefulness and start building a habit. I summarized it better before. I lost it.
Well,
you can summarize it.
You can rewind. I think it's a great habit to have. I think it's a key to joy. I think all the things you talked about are good. So I thought your practical suggestions were good. And just all that I'm saying is, it's hard.
Yes.
And part of this, because born out of my experience of thinking about it this year, reviewing some past material on gratitude and realizing that for all that I'd studied it and for the things I'd even tried to do to implement it, which I have done regularly.
Right.
How much of it had gotten flushed out?
Not stuck.
And I was just I got to do more. You know, I've got to enter into this a little bit more fully if I'm going to really develop that. So maybe by next year,
maybe I'll be winning gratitude.
Hopefully.
Winning at gratitude.
I will say, I have learned to be content.
You will say that. And hopefully we all can.
I'm working on it.
But Thursday is the day to focus on being grateful.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So at least for the 10 minutes we say it around the table.
And then we go try to buy all the things.
Well, even before that.
We weren't grateful for.
You got to get the special edition of the paper with all the ads.
Oh, yeah. And you make your list.
And you make your list of the things that you don't have.
Yeah. Want, yeah.
Which I can no longer say is a fire stick for me. Because I have.
And you got it on lightning deal.
That's right.
And everybody looks to me for the last word.
Have you learned to be content?
We'll give it to Paul. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody who made it this far on the podcast and listened.
We're thankful for you.
Yes, we are.
We are thankful. I'm thankful for Wes and Lacey. And we are probably going to promote Lacey to a permanent fixture instead of a special member. She's part of the podcast. Yes, no longer a special guest.
Thank you.
So listen for that after Thanksgiving. Thanks, everybody. See you next time. God bless you.